First of all, I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to have Jesus love me. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to work and food, and had severe control issues, and also I've had issues with pornography and alcohol.
Amen.
I know y'all are joking with the brother Wendell thing, and you should not do that.
Yeah,
I am her biological brother, so this is true. But that really does push all kind of, ask my wife, she'll tell you, that pushes all kinds of buttons in me from my past. I can't go back to that. Don't ever want to go back to that. So please never call me Brother Wendell. Unless you just want to really hurt me. And seriously, it's like, oh, don't do that. So anyway, I wish the rest of the band was in here so I could talk about them. These guys kick butt. They kick butt. Yeah. I sing like a duck. So I've just given, I'm not going to sing in here anymore hardly at all unless I sing harmonies, because I just don't like the way I sing. But I love to play, and I've always devoted myself to playing. And I've always thought it was so beast, and I don't even have a clue how this works. It's just my little boy in me, okay? Just the little boy in me. But I have these dreams that someday I can sit down in front of Jesus with a guitar and an amp and just say, can I just play for you for a while? And just, you know, I'm starting to cry thinking about it. But I've really thought a lot about that. In days gone by, there was so much ego invested in my music. I had to be the alpha. I had to be the best. I had to have everybody like me. I had to have everybody. I had to impress everybody. And because of recovery, because of being in here all these years and having God heal me, I play now because I'm happy. I just play because I'm happy. So I don't really care what people think, and it's freed me up completely. Because once you stop caring what people think, and I screw up a lot up here, I don't care anymore. I just don't care. And I'm just free to play. And to be able to sit by my boy and play like that, that boy kicks butt. And just to be able to sit and play with him, and then to be, I mean, he's not my blood brother, but to be with my brother Lewis, I mean, he's the first guy at Broadway who ever put his arms around me and loved me and pulled me in. He was the very beginning of my recovery and didn't even know it. So we've been through a lot of stuff together, musically and life and just, you know, on the mountaintop through the trenches. And to have his boy up there, because I remember when Aaron couldn't play a lick, you know, and to watch him come along and to have our two boys play together. So we were making copies down the hall, me and Lewis were, when Jake showed up. And so Jake and Aaron started playing together before we got in here. And we were walking down the hall, two daddies that were just busted. Listen to our boys. They have never played before together, and they're sitting down and killing it. So just a moment of personal pleasure there. Sorry about that, but anyway, this is what I mean about just living life. Just live life and have fun and enjoy yourself and relax and stop feeling like you have anything to prove and anything to defend, and just live life and have fun and raise your kids that way and raise your grandkids that way, and the world would be a completely different place if we would just stop competing with each other and, you know, whatever, trying to defend whatever. I don't know. So tonight we're going to start on the first of two parts on codependency. The last two nights of January, 22nd and 29th, are going to be on codependency. And the first lesson tonight is, how do I know if I'm codependent? And my quick answer would be, look in the mirror. Simple answer to that question. How do I know I'm codependent? Look in the mirror. And then next week, we're going to ask the question, how do I know if they're codependent? In other words, the other people in my life. Jan thought I was pointing at her. Not pointing at you. I promise I'm not, but I bet you're codependent. So, you know, them, whoever the them are in your life, are they codependent, the people you're closest with? And there again, the answer would be, tell them to go look in the mirror. So, I toyed a little bit with the idea of doing the Jeff Foxworthy thing. You know you're a redneck if, bleh, you know you're codependent if, bleh. And I actually started my lesson that way, and I thought, you know, nah, I don't want to do it that way. So I decided not to teach a lesson. So I'm just... nah. You know, the first thing that came to my... I really, as I was looking at this, I thought, okay, what's just the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the first thing that comes to my mind if somebody would ask me, how do I know if I'm codependent? And I think the first thing I would say is, are you comfortable in your own skin? Are you good with the you that is the true you? And you know, Megan is so honest, and she said, you know, I struggle with not being enough. That's my first point. If most of us don't feel comfortable in our own skin, that we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not smart enough, we're not productive enough, we're not nice enough, we're not... She said it, fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. And how many days do we get up and we look in the mirror and the first thing we think, or that's probably more like the end of the day, after you've lived your day and you come home and look in the mirror and you say, well, how did I do today? Well, it wasn't nearly enough. You know? Which, the whole idea of that is I'm not comfortable with being who I am. How do I know that? Because I wasn't comfortable the way I live today. I just lived a whole day, and I'm not good with it. I don't feel good about that day. That's what I mean by I don't feel comfortable in my own skin. If you color outside the lines and you think, you know, I know that I was supposed to color inside the lines, then just color inside the lines the next day. But when you end your day thinking, I'm a bad person, I'm an inferior person, I'm a less than person because I colored outside the lines today. There's something wrong with me because I colored outside the lines. I didn't mean to. I didn't start out my day to color outside the lines, but I did. So shame on me. It sucks to be me. I wish I was better than today's version of me. And so I think that, to me, is one of the first indicators. How do I know if I'm codependent? If I'm not comfortable in my own skin? Now, kind of what we've talked about there is in terms of your production, your how did you do today? You know what I'm saying? What did you produce? What did you say? How did you communicate with other people? How much work did you get done? How much, you know... It goes to production, it goes to doing, it goes to action. But then there are other times when that becomes so grievous, so profound, that it's not necessarily at the end of the day we're looking back and saying, how did I do? It's literally everywhere we go, we're self-consumed. We're, you know, always checking and how you look. When you walk into a room, when you walk into this room, the first thing you think is, who's looking at me? Or the first thing you think is, what's the quickest way I can get out of here if I get in a pinch? I got to check where the exits are. What is the safest seat I could sit in to kind of be in the group but kind of be isolated a little bit? Is my fly up? You know? Is my hair just right? Did I smudge my makeup when I put it on? I always have trouble with that. You know, it's when we walk through life and we're constantly self-checking and we're constantly self... I wonder what they thought about that phone conversation. I wonder what they thought about... As soon as we exit a room, as soon as we enter a room, it's all about what do they think of me? How did I do? So it's just all about I'm not comfortable just being me, you know? I'm a screw-up. 10 years of recovery, I've discovered that I'm a screw-up, and it took me a while, but now I'm good with being a screw-up. I'm really good with that. And I'm not trying to be gimmicky. I have come to the place where I'm good with being a screw-up. I'm good with a screwed-up version of me because that's the only version I'll ever have. So I'm good with that. So how do I know if I'm codependent, if I'm not comfortable in my own skin? The second thing I put down was my safety is priority number one. my safety, my well-being is priority number one. So if I'm not comfortable in my own skin, I'm going to hide parts of me from you I don't want you to see. I'm going to hide my stuff from anyone who might use it against me. And anybody who remotely threatens my safety, it becomes my enemy. So I know I'm codependent, not only because I don't feel comfortable in my own skin, but now I'm constantly on the lookout for any kind of threat. I'm constantly on the lookout. I'm changing my list all the time. This is my list of safe people. This is my list of unsafe people. This is my list of safe activities. This is my list of unsafe activities. So we're constantly guarding against anything that would threaten our well-being or our sense of happiness, our sense of security, our sense of peace. And anybody who threatens that becomes an enemy. And codependency that really gets ramped up says, and I only seek friends who feel the same way I do about that enemy. I need to surround myself with people who demonize that person who threatens me. Threatens me because that backs up I knew I wasn't paranoid. I knew that wasn't a psychotic thought. It's real. They are a threat, aren't they? So we surround ourselves with people who reinforce these feelings of fear toward other people. So my safety, I don't feel comfortable in my own skin, and my safety is priority number one. I hide my stuff from you. If I think you could use it against me, I hide it from you. Do you know what's so bogus about that? We're going down a trail here. What's so bogus about that is once you tell the truth about yourself, there's just nothing left to be afraid of. Just go ahead and tell the truth about yourself. And once you do, it's like, well, I heard this on you, and you say, yeah, it's true. Well, so-and-so was saying that you did this. Yeah, that's true, too. Well, can I get you on anything? No, not really. You know, because I've already told it all. I'm a community project, you know. I've gone public with my stuff. That's so easy. There's so much peace and joy in that. It's this hiding all this stuff because everybody's a threat to me. Number three is I keep several versions of myself parked in the garage. I drive whatever version suits the situation I'm in. I thought I'd change that a little bit. We usually talk about masks. I thought I'd talk about cars, describe it that way. But I keep several versions of myself in the garage, and I drive whatever suits me. Whatever situation I'm in, whatever person I'm with. Let me just ask you this question. Let it kind of sit in on you. Because I'm not sure that this is a good question. I looked at it on my paper all week long, and I thought, is that a good question or not? I don't know if it's a good question. So I'm going to throw it out here to you. You're my guinea pigs. Do you drive the living room version of yourself to work? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you drive the living room version of yourself to work? Do you drive the living room version of yourself to the ballpark? Do you drive the living room version of yourself to a party? You see what I'm saying? It's interesting that we change versions of ourselves depending on where we're going. And I'm thinking, well, I'm on podcast, but I think most of y'all figured this out. I speak a little bit of French every now and then. And that'd be the living room version of me. My wife gets to hear that all the time. And I come here and on a podcast and I have to clean that up. So I think, am I being hypocritical? You know, I don't talk here like I do at home. Is that hypocritical? I don't know. I don't want y'all throwing stuff at me or calling the church police on me. I might get in trouble. I don't know. I don't have that one figured out because I think, well, is it okay to have several versions of yourself? I don't know. But you can take that and you can push it to such extremes that you change cars every 5 minutes, you know, that you morph into somebody different literally minute by minute. I become whoever I have to be to keep, I'm just going to start pointing at people. I become whoever I have to be at this moment to keep you happy. I become whoever I have to be at this moment to defend myself from you. You see what I'm saying? So I'm morphing all the time to, I want to make her happy. He's a threat, so I'm going to guard myself against him. Got an intellectual in the room, so I'm going to do what I can to impress him intellectually. You see what I'm saying? So we're constantly changing, depending on whoever we're talking to, because we want to protect ourselves and we want them to like us. So we're constantly morphing and changing. That is exhausting. That is absolutely exhausting to try to do that. So that's kind of what I'm talking about, is just be the living room version, maybe minus a little French, but just be the living room version. Oh, Loretta, you use it too. You can always pick on your sister. But, you know, I become whoever I need to be to keep you happy. I become whoever I need to be to keep you in my debt. I become whoever I need to be to gain your approval or to fit in. I become whoever I need to be to feel safe and you know, just kind of blend instead of fit, just kind of blend and melt. There's so many different ways that we do that, that we change. Does anybody want to say, we don't usually have open forum, but you can't literally be one version all the time. Right? I mean, you can't. But don't you think we've gone way overboard with it? Just like and that seems unhealthy, see, to be accepted and fit in. Yeah.
And but then when he was with his disciples, he was teaching and teaching.
Yeah.
So there was almost a switch there too.
And there's no way that you're going to call Jesus a hypocrite.
No way. Well, I think being ourselves has become, I'm reading this book now. Being ourselves is like, we're told, forget the rest of you, I'm going to be me. And I don't think Jesus calls us to forget the rest of you. Sometimes, in order to love you in a way that I should love you, I have to take myself, do something I don't want to do, say something I feel uncomfortable saying, to love you in the way that I should.
Yeah. Well, what Donnie said kind of triggered something in me is that if I come here and I don't mean to keep talking about this, but it kind of demonizes me, so it's okay to do that. So I come here and I watch my language when I come here. So am I doing that? And I think I should. I think I should. Most of y'all who know me would be like, well, I don't care, but you have new people coming and everything. They're like, what? You know, what's this guy doing up here? He's a pastor at this church, but I think the deciding factor would be this. Am I watching my language so that you'll like me and I'll fit in? That's what you said. Am I doing it for that reason? Or am I doing it because I love you? You see? It's the same activity, but the motivation is completely different. And that is something that is so true. That's not in my notes here, but that's something that's so true with codependency, is that codependency is almost 100% of the time fear-driven. It's self-protective, fear-driven, self-satisfying, fear-driven activity. It can be the very same activity, but it's codependent because it's fear-driven. So you partake of the exact same activity, but you do it out of love. That's no longer codependent because it's love-driven. It's not fear-driven. Same activity, same thing, but a different motivation. That's why I think a lot of people get confused about codependency. Go ahead. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Why did I do what I did? Yeah. 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 That's probably more appropriate. Why am I wanting to do this? You probably know more than you think. Yeah, with threat.
And I think that there's a balance there about being open, but being respectful of those laws.
Yes.
So that's what I would think.
Yes.
I would not want somebody else to slip because
Yeah.
Well, it's at the very root. If the thing that I used to check myself a lot, because don't think I've got this down, because I don't. I do not. I know just enough to make myself dangerous. It's kind of like karate. I know just enough to be dangerous to myself and those in the room, in the immediate vicinity. But a lot of this goes to that simple thing. Vicki just said it. Why am I about to do what I'm going to do? Is to simply ask yourself the question, am I doing this out of fear or am I doing it out of love? And I know we say that a lot in here, but you know, it's just really true. Am I doing this to protect myself, to defend myself, to prove myself right, or am I doing this to enhance your life, to make your life better? That is it. That's getting really close to the very center of codependency, is why we do what we do. Okay, so that was not very well said, but y'all help me, and I appreciate that. So how do I know if I'm codependent? So we kind of talked about if I'm not comfortable in my own skin, if my safety is priority number one, and I keep several versions of myself parked in the garage, and we can kind of figure out what version we're driving by our motives. Am I fear-driven or love-driven? Thank you for that. You cleared that up. So I'm asking myself the question tonight, how do I know if I'm codependent? And I've said these things to myself. So where does this leave you? Where does this leave you? You're in my life, you know? I deal with you on a regular basis. If I'm codependent, I value you only if you fit and you blend into what I just said. You know? You are only valuable to me, as long as you continue to make me feel significant and safe. You see what I'm saying? If you don't do that, then you have no value to me anymore. You don't fit into my plan. If you're a threat to me, why would I want to be around you? If I feel like you're going to take anything out of my life, why would I want to be around you? If I'm codependent, I am so consumed with my needs and my wants and my desires, that takes up every bit of my energy, especially when you're changing cars every 5 minutes. Got to impress him, got to defend against them, whatever. I'm changing cars. That is high-maintenance stuff. I don't have any time to get to know you. I don't want to get to know you. Only as far as how I can plug you into my system. I want to get to know you as far as your usefulness to me. But as far as your value as an individual, I could care less. I don't care. I don't want to hear your story. I don't want to hear your hurts and hang on. I don't want to hear that. That doesn't fit into what I need out of you. So what does that play? I'll throw you under the bus if it'll make me look better and deflect attention off my misbehavior. I'll just throw you under the bus. Got several people who made some kind of questionable activity. Well, I don't want you looking at me, so I'll throw my best friend under the bus. I won't even blink an eye over that one. Here's another one. My generosity is not for you. It's only to gain your approval and to maintain power over you. So if I'm nice to you or if I act like I'm generous to you, it's not because I really care about you. It's because I want to keep you in my debt. I want you to owe me. Because I don't really care about you. Or I want you to approve of me. To feel significant, here's the third one. To feel significant, I need to be better than you. I need to feel like I am more important in this world than you are. That I'm a more important and a more crucial component to God's plan than you are. If I dropped out of the mix, things would fall apart. If you did, it wouldn't really matter. You kind of have to keep putting steroids in it until it's... I could see you on that last one. It's like, whoa, whoa, that's what he's saying? Yeah, that's what codependency comes down to. That's what it comes down to. So to keep you in your place, I got to let you know that if you need to be fixed, I'm the one who can do it. I can fix you. Why? Because I know more than you do. I'm better than you. I've been around longer. I got certificates. You don't. You know, whatever it might be. Or I need you to need me. I need to keep you in a place where you're calling me for help because that makes me superior. If you're calling me for help, that makes me superior to you. So you see how this works? You got people who and I did this for years. You look like you're in ministry. You look like you're there to help people, but you're not really. You're there to use people to make yourself feel significant and feel needed and feel smart and feel, you know, that's warped. But that's codependency. I can't let you be who you really are if that will threaten me in any way. I need to this is the bottom line of this whole lesson, and this hit me. I put it in 18-point italicized bold type because this one really hit me. The bottom line of codependency is I will dehumanize you to make myself feel more human. Now, stop and think about that. I won't bat an eye at dehumanizing you. It goes to somebody who said, Tammy said disrespect or respect. I'll disrespect you. I'll lie to you. I'll abuse you. I'll use you. I'll whatever it might be. I'll piss on your foot just to show you this is who you are to me. You know, I'm the alpha. I'm the one in power here. I'll dehumanize you so that I feel more human. And in reality, all it does is dehumanize me. Because now I'm pissing on your foot like a dog. Who's the dog there? You know? So, I don't know if this helps you, but it helped me. Because we've approached codependency so many different ways over the years here. But this helped me some just to approach it a little bit differently. I really believe that all of us in some form or fashion are codependent. You don't have to agree with me. But I believe that. I believe we all are in some form or fashion. The problem with codependency is that we talk about it as if it's an academic topic that you would find in the glossary of a book. Okay, today we're going to study codependency. You know, you write something on the board and you study codependency. The fact is that codependency rules our culture. It absolutely rules our culture. And it ruins our relationships, and we raise our children in it, and we carry out our marriages in it, and we treat our employees that way, and we treat our bosses that way, and our neighbors that way, and the person at minute mark, we treat everybody in this codependent way, and it's time we call it what it is. I have to dehumanize you so that I'll feel more human. That's the bottom line of codependency. Does that make us all dirty, rotten, terrible sinners? No, I'm not. No. And this lesson tonight is not to make anybody feel guilty or shamed or anything like that. But I think that we need to stop dealing with codependency as if it's just a chin scratcher. You know, I need to understand this concept of codependency. No, I think we need to get past trying to intellectually understand it and realize this is the motor that runs our that runs us. This is what damages our relationships. It's codependency. It's dehumanizing other people so I'll feel more human.
So it's a more subtle version of being a bully.
That is a huge way to be codependent. That's not the only way, but that's a huge way. Yeah. And maybe sometime we need to do this. I don't know. Maybe sometimes we need to get a whiteboard up here and just start listing all the hats that codependency wears. It wears so many hats. Because you said bully, but I can be just as codependent by being sugary sweet to you. And I can bully you by being sugary sweet if I'm good at it. I can get really slick and good at being sugary sweet, and I'm being just as domineering, just as manipulative, and just as deceptive toward you, but I'm doing it in a sweet, nice way. And I'm coming across as an angel. And I have every bit as much bully power over you as if I carried around a billy club and beat you over the head. Yeah. It's just, codependency is the nastiest cancer But it's in all of us, and we've it's not fun to talk about, but we've got to talk about it so that we can see it when we look in the mirror and say, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I want to value other human beings the same way Jesus values other human beings. If you want to know what it looks like not to be codependent, watch Jesus. Watch Jesus deal with people. There was no ego invested. He never dehumanized. He punched a couple Pharisees verbally in the nose, but he never dehumanized them. When he was hanging on the cross, he looks down at him and he says, Dad, he says, forgive them. These guys are clueless. Forgive them, you know. He didn't dehumanize them. He did poke them in the eye a time or two. This is just a start. This is just a start, yeah. You find it from codependency becomes pretty easy to codependency in the rich and powerful becomes glaring. It's glaring. It's like in vivid color. So it's a little easier to spot in the rich and famous, but it's in the normal everyday fried chicken people, just like you and me. You know. Yeah, I'll take a thigh. Well, our time's up. Ben, let's do a song. Oh. Go ahead, Ben. Get up here. I just want to say something. In continuance to our fun night, do you remember the little booklet that we're studying right now, our codependency? Do you remember the title of it? Using and Abusing Others, Getting Honest About Codependency? So we thought it would be appropriate to sing a codependency theme song. So we're going to sing one. By Bill Withers, called Use Me. It's a codependency song. So it's codependency. If you want a theme song as a codependent, this would be your theme song.